it's coming from Pasuk Zayin. I'm sorry, yeah?
What about the Shemen HaMishnah?
The Shemen HaMishnah itself.
Don't you need that to be a king? Because there was a Meshorah, so
call.
To speak.
That's a very, very good call. You
and
definitely
you needed the Shofar.
So we're going to see what's going to be. There is going to be a type of oil that they use, but they're not going to use the Shemen HaMishnah. Not going to use it.
Well,
instead, they're going to use a parsenemy oil.
Right.
Yeah, the parsenemy oil that they use for the Malchus Yisrael, which in the end, Yerubim is the one that he used, is going to be the one that's used by over here by Avshalom as well. So again, that's what happens. Now again, Perek Tezvav Pasachet. Ki neder nader abdekha b'shiti b'gshur ba'aram lemor im yashuv yeshiveni Hashem Yerushalayim. Your servant has made a nether when he lived in Geshur, back in the Arameans, back in that area, saying that if God brings me back to Yerushalayim, then I will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I promised I would say that. Some say that what he's saying is I needed a kapara for the murder that I had done. I felt bad about what I did to Adoniyahu. So I needed to make a kapara, and the korban that I'm going to bring in Chevron is going to be that area. That's going to be the idea. And why Chevron? Chevron is one of the Arei Miklat.
Why?
So it makes sense to go to a city of refuge. So he said, I've been trying to do it, but I've been stuck because for 3 years you wouldn't bring me back, and then for 2 years you wouldn't even see me. I didn't want to leave when that was happening, so I waited until you're ready to speak to me, and now I'm ready to go. King said to him, go in peace. Unfortunately, that is the lesson that you use for someone who's about to die. Whether David HaMelech did it on purpose or whether he did it accidentally, he did say Lech B'Shalom instead of Lech L'Shalom. He got up and he went to Chavron. Shalom sent Meraglim spies, or really, it's messengers, but throughout all of the Shotim Yisrael, when you hear the voice of the shofar, you will say, Avshalom has been made king in Chevron. Now, he sent the messengers and he told them, I want you to do it at the exact same time. So everyone came out at the exact same time, so there was no time to really think about it, or for David HaMelech to hear about it, before Avshalom had already done what he had done in Chevron. Now, notice this as well. David may have originally been okay with it. Oh, Avshalom is going to be king in Chevron? Okay. And the city of Chevron is not that big of a deal. At least he's not going to be Melech over Yisrael. That he didn't want. For him to be king in Chevron, for him to take over that area, right, that's going to be the idea behind it. See, why should Avshalom make this distinction or David HaMelech?
There's no precedence for having...
Nothing whatsoever, but it could be that he felt that, okay, he could be a leader. He didn't mean Melech as in that kind of a Melech. He meant Melech as in taking care of things. And that's what he meant over there. There's no way that Avshalom would have the audacity to do it. But do remember one thing. Nafshon HaNavi had already counseled David HaMelech that because of what he did to Bathsheba, there was going to be someone who was going to get up in his household and try to take over the kingdom. And he knew that, David HaMelech. Avshalom knew about it as well. It could be that he used it as sort of like a prophecy, saying, oh, so I should do what I'm about to do. And he thought it was an okay thing to do because of that prophecy over here. We're going to see some of it seemed to have been somewhat of a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's Avshalom Hokum Asayim Yishmi Yerushalayim. 200 men from Yerushalayim accompanied Avshalom. Kruim V'Hokum L'Sumam. They were invited, and they went innocently. V'Lod Yadu Kol Davar. They had no idea what was going on. Now, what had happened over here? So what happened was the following. Avshalom wanted to make sure that there would be many, many important people, including all of the Sanhedrin and Achitophel with him, the chief advisor of the king, together with him when he went to Chevron. Now, why? What he wanted to make sure that everything was going to be on his side. So what did he do? He went up to David HaMelech and he said, please write me a letter that two people can come with me to go to Chevron. So the king said, which two people? I'll write the letter for you. He said, just write two people. Two prominent people should go with Avshalom. So Allah said, okay. So he wrote a letter and he said, two prominent people should go with Avshalom to Chevron to whatever he needs there. And then signed his name, David HaMelech. Avshalom went around to the Sanhedrin, found two people and said, come with me. They said, oh, it's from the king. So they went. He went to another two people and said, come with me. And he did that 100 times. That he got 200 people, including Achitophel, and got them to all come with. And every single person that he went to, he ended up getting 200 men who were invited. Sanhedrin was there, Achitophel was there, and all were there. So when people went out and said, what was happening in Hebron? They said, oh, Sanhedrin's there. Achitophel's there. Well, this must be by the word of the king. It must be that David HaMelech is okay with this.
Really, only had to do it, I guess. Just to get the Sanhedrin and the other 130.
Whoever it is. Well, there were other people involved in the Sanhedrin, remember, not just the 70 sitting down, but the other people.
Wait a second, gave it to like 20,000?
Exactly. Well, no. You're right. There were other people that were there before. The thousands of people, whatever it was, the 8,000 people altogether. But the people that sat in Sanhedrin, there were backups as well. Yeah.
I thought at this point all you needed was the Navi and maybe the Kohen Gadol.
Yeah, there's no question that's what you need in order to anoint yourself. But what happens when you have one guy who just does something on his own? granted, with Yoshka, I guess it worked out well. But by most people, nobody listens to him.
It worked.
Who cares?
Quite
not there.
Very well.
You have a lot of people around, then it becomes Chashuv. We'll see how they got fooled. Yeah.
Muhammad,
the same way also. Yeah, some of them became Chashuv. Most people are Chashuv. By Yishlach Avshalom is Achitofel Agiloni. Avshalom sent to bring Achitofel the Giloni. Giloni. I don't know what that means, if he's from Gilo or from another area. Yoitz David Meiro Mi Gilo. He was the advisor. Oh, there you go. The advisor of David Meiro from a city from Gilo. When he started shakting the korbanos, so yeah, kasher, yeah, amit. By this time, the conspiracy had become very, very powerful. The am holich barav is Avshalom. The people had started to become more Avshalom. Now, he started telling them there is a nevuah that Nathan and Avi had that there would be a person in David Melech's house who would become the king. Right, somebody would get up and become the king on their own. And he told them over the Nebuah, and he told them what ended up being over there. He then started flattering the people, as he was very good into doing. He made false promises. He invited people. He got people together. Exactly. He was the person who said, and once he got the advisor, the chief advisor of David Melech, Achitofel, to come along, people said, oh, this guy is really kosher. Pasuk Yud Gimel. So a person, a messenger came to David saying, Hayalev Ishi Yisroch Way Avshalom. The hearts of Israel have gone after Avshalom. The person that everybody wants, he's the guy who's curried the favor of all these people. They're now together with him right now. But Yomer David Chol Avadav, Asheri, so David HaMelech said to all the servants that were with him, Yerushalayim, Kumu V'Nivracha, let's get up and run away. Kiloti Yalenu Pleitam Yimei Avshalom, we're not going to have any way of escaping Avshalom. Maru Lelechas Pani Mar V'Yisiganu, let's go quickly before he reaches us. V'Yidiach Alenu is a raw, and he brings upon us this evil, V'Hiko Ha'ir L'Picharev, and kills the city by the sword. Now here's what he's worried about over here. David HaMelech could very well have stayed, and he could have battled Avshalom, and he most probably would have won, and there shouldn't be that much of an issue. But number one, there were big things going on with David HaMelech right now. Number one, part of the punishment of what had happened because of Bathsheba is that he had gotten saras. He himself was very, very weak with saras, some type of leprosy, and because of that, he couldn't fight.
Does it say?
Simply, quickly, we're going to get it later on. It's from a medrash though that he was punished with saras and brought down in Shabbos of Nunei. So because of that, David HaMelech had no ability to be able to fight right at this moment. Couldn't do it. That's number one. Number two, he worried about the innocent people who didn't have to be involved in this fight. For his warriors to fight the Avshalom's warriors, it's one thing, but for the city to be sieged by Avshalom on the outside with those men of whoever men he had gotten together and put together. Number one, he didn't want to kill Avshalom's men. Number two, he didn't want Avshalom's men killing innocent people of Yerushalayim. Let's get out of a city where there's women and children and all these people out here.
So what I was thinking, and why didn't he just go and ask the Urim too?
That is a good question. Oh wait, he does. He's going to. Give me a second. He's going to ask the Urim and Tumim what ends up happening. Hold on, he does do that in a second. That's number two. Number three, he wanted to get away from the place where Bathsheba had happened. Because you remember correctly, this whole thing was a Mida Keneged Mida. Exactly. He's worried that the Mida Keneged Mida near Bathsheba. This is part of the punishment. He knew it from Nathan and Avi. It's not like he didn't see this coming. He knew something was going to happen. He may have been planning for this for years. That if anything happens, I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave right away. It could be always thought that way. And he always had that in mind, and he was always thinking to himself, I'm going to get out of here. He knew exactly what was going on and realized what was happening. Either way, for any of those reasons or all of those reasons, David HaMelech said, it's better for me to get out of here than it is for me to stay. Pasuk Tesvot, Vayomer Avdei HaMelech LaMelech. The servants of the king said to the king, Kehol Asher Yivchar Adoni HaMelech Hinei Avadecha. Whatever my master chooses, that's what your servants are going to do. They may not have agreed with him, but they said, we'll do it. At this point, David HaMelech said to Hillam Simin Gimel, Perek Gimel, right? The Vorchom Yivnei Avshalom Beno. He said over that to Hillam. Yeah, but he wrote some of the words, but he put together the words, meaning he couldn't have written when he was before, when I'm running away from Avshalom, my son. He put together those words and put together the correct phrases in that order that we have in Tehillim Gimel. He wrote them right at that moment, although the idea was already there. It says, all the people left by foot. Why did they leave by foot and not by horse or by chariot or anything?
Because
they were afraid. They were afraid that if they were, Avshalom finds out where they were going, they were going to chase after them. They didn't want to be chased after. The king left 10 women that were his pilakshim in order to guard the bais, in order to guard the house.
Yeah, now, a bunch of pretty ladies guarding the house.
Well, what he really said is the following. First of all, in Nathan's nevuah, part of the nevuah was, is that I will take your wives and give them to one close to you, and he will lie with your wives. Nathan and Avi had already promised prophesied that. And nonetheless, David HaMelech seems to leave them behind. The most likely explanation for that is that David HaMelech never had a havamina that Avshalom would ever do such a terrible crime. There is no way that Avshalom could have done such a thing. David HaMelech didn't believe it whatsoever. So he thought, listen, Avshalom's going to try to take over the kingdom, but he's not going to sleep with his stepmothers. All those stepmothers who were technically not his wives, and that's why he wasn't worried about Ish Ish or being Machayiv anybody, and he said they were concubines, which is a difference. And if Avshalom was the king, then he could take the wife, the palakshim of the previous melech, even if it's his father's. It's called Mefutas Aviz, and it's muttered according to the Chachamim in Sadi Vavam Abayis in Yevamis. So it is muttered to sleep together with the Mefuta of your father. He probably assumed that it would never happen, that part would never happen. Maybe he would go near them, but not that he would literally sleep with them. So the king went with all the people with him, and they stood by Beis HaMerchak. They wanted to see what was going to happen. They waited to go see what was going to be. Is Avshalom going to chase after them? Is Avshalom going to say anything? It was a place farther away, but not so far away. But that's that. It was a distant spot that was over there. Some say that he covered up his head and went barefoot, as if he was in Chayrim, as if he was put inside Chayrim over here. That's the idea behind it. Okay, that's that. Ira Hayiri took him away from his supposed ban from the Chayrim that he had put himself in. All of his servants passed by him, all the crazy and the placey, which refers to either the Pelishtim who came to help him, that was the crazy and the placey, or Sanhedrin, the cutters, and the people were Muflaim B'Dvarim, the people would help them. That whichever people of Sanhedrin were left, or a different type of Sanhedrin who worked with the king, they were with him right now. The Kola Gitim, and all the Gitim as well, the people from the land of Gath, who were considered non-Jewish, but nonetheless had become Gerim, like Itai Agiti, remember him? There were warriors that were with them all together. So Sheish Meosish, 600 men, Asher Bo Barago, they came by foot, Migas, over on Pnei HaMelech, they passed by near the king to be able to help the king. Yomar HaMelech, Itai Agiti, said to Itai Agiti, Lama Selech, Kamatzal Gitanu, why are you coming with us, Itai? Right? Shuv, Vesheva HaMelech, go and sit down with the king. Unbelievable, right? He's calling up Shalom, the king. Go and sit with the king. You're a stranger among us. You're going to be sent back to your people. Why not go back to your place? This is not your place, Itai. This is not your reason for joining Klal Yisrael. You came to Klal Yisrael because you wanted to see the good stuff. Sometimes there's bad stuff. Don't join us right now. Yesterday you came. Today I'm going to make you wander around, Yimanu, with us. Lelechas, and go around. I'm going wherever I go. Go back, right? Everything you did, the kindness and truth that you've given me is appreciated and everything, but that's that. It could be that he's asking his Itai Gitin to become a spy. Could be that's what he was trying to do. Or he's just telling him, simply put, just go back. Yeah, what are you going
to
say?
Targum says that he was telling him to go back to Gath.
To Gath. That makes sense. That's the Pashup Shah. Pasuk Chavala.
Go back to your king there.
Yeah. Bayan Itai HaMelech. Itai said to the king, by Yomar Chai Hashem, the Chai Adoni HaMelech, by the life of God and the life of my master, the king, Ki Bim Kol Mesher Yashom Adoni, wherever my master goes, HaMelech, in Lamavis and Lachai, whether you're going to die or live, Ki Shom Yavdecha, that's where I'm going to be. Not going anywhere. Yomar David Al Itai, Leich Vavor, then go, cross over the river. Vavor. Everybody went with him, all of his men, all the little kids that were with him, and they all went through. Itai Gita made a shvua that he would stay with the king wherever he was supposed to be, and that showed a little bit of all the people who used to be on David HaMelech's side who are now working for Avshalom. While Itai Agiti, a non-Jewish person who would join Klal Yisrael, was 100% with David HaMelech. It shows the power of Gerim. They make a decision, they stay with that decision. Yeah.
Were these people actually, were these 200 people, were they really with him?
600 people.
600.
Yeah.
No, but like the 200 people that I guess he kind of tricked him.
Oh, were with? At first, they were there. But it could be that they gave up eventually, and they were like, wait, we didn't come for this.
Yeah, that's...
But by that point, Avshalom had gathered all these other people that were there, the Amiratzim, the people that he had convinced, who he said, look, the Sanhedrin, they didn't notice the Sanhedrin left. All the rest of the people, the multitude, stayed with Avshalom.
The 600 were not necessarily including the original
200. No, I'm sorry. The 200 that were with Avshalom, those were really kosher people. Whoever stayed with Avshalom may have just been Amiratzim, and the other people went back to David. David now had 600. 100 people with him from the Gittin, and there were other people that were the crazy in the place. Maybe it was Sanhedrin coming back. Maybe it was other people. Who knows? We don't know what happened to those 200 people. We only know that Achitophel stayed with Avshalom. Pasuk Gimel, V'kol Ha'aretz Bokhim Kol Gadol. All the people of the land started crying a great cry. All the people crossed over the river. V'amelech over Benachol Kidron. The king went over Nachol Kidron. V'kol Ha'am Oivrin Al Pnei Derech Zamidbor. They all went over the way to the desert itself. That's where they ended up going. They crossed over the desert itself. Now, it could be they weren't crying over David HaMelech. They're crying over the Aron Kodesh. Aron HaKodesh that was taken with them, that they have brought with them by Avyosar and Tzadok. And that's the reason why. Once they had done this, that's the idea behind it. Now, it could be that that's the reason why he told these guys to go back. Bring back the Aron Kodesh. Tzadok and the Levim were carrying the Aron, the Brit of Hashem. They had Sikos Aron Elohim, and they brought forth, they put down, I should say, the Aron of God by Yalav Yasser Atom Kola Omlav Omni Yir. And if Yasser went up, to all the people had crossed over the city itself. Okay.
If Yasser was the Kohen Gadol, right?
At this point, if Yasser at the time was the Kohen Gadol, but at this point it was removed. Right here is when David HaMelech asked the Urim V'Tumim where to go and what he should do. And the Urim V'Tumim told where to go, but if Yasser could not get an answer. And thus it was passed over to Tzadok. And Tzadok was able to get an answer. Avyasar was the last remaining person of Eli's family to be a Kohen Gadol. Avyasar was the last of all of them. Tzadok, from then on, who was from Itamar, from the other side, he might have been from Elazar. I don't remember which one was which. I don't remember. Oh, yeah, Eli was from Itamar. Now it was given over to Tzadok to be given over to Elazar. It went over on Elazar's place, and he was the one who ended up becoming the Kohen Gadol, Eli's Kohanim. The people of Eli had now been taken away. They no longer were there. That's what ended up happening at this point, and they followed whatever was going to be from that point on. Yeah.
You can stop a Kohen in the middle of his service, like it doesn't necessarily go till death.
Saras or any moon that he has, he's taken down. He's not able to serve at that time. Not being answered by the Urim V'Tumim is enough.
Okay.
Yeah, that is enough. I will tell you as a side note, remember before Shaul HaMelech couldn't get an answer from the Urim V'Tumim?
Well, probably he wasn't asking right, probably.
Well, no, that's where they darshaned. They said, it's not that he wasn't getting answers. Because if you're not answered with one Kohen Gadol, you can just choose another Kohen to ask again. And you didn't ask every Kohen in the world, because that's exactly what he did over there. No, this is what David HaMelech did.
Nobody.
He wasn't answered by one. So therefore, you could be answered by another. But that's why they darshaned over there. He wasn't answered by the Urim V'Tumim because he was too embarrassed to ask the Urim V'Tumim since he had killed Nov Ira Kohanim. So he didn't want to ask the Urim V'Tumim. Not that he wasn't able to get an answer. If you don't get an answer for one Kohen Gadol, you blame the Kohen Gadol. You don't blame the Urim V'Tumim. You don't blame yourself. That's exactly what David HaMelech did over here. He saw that if Yasser wasn't answered, he realized it's if Yasser. So he went to Tzadok. That's what ended up being. So that was the drasha back then. The king said to Tzadok, Hashav et Aron Elokim Ha'ir, bring the Aron back to the city of Yerushalayim. If I find favor in the eyes of Hashem, Vashivani Yerani Yosef Es Naveyu. And then I will return and I will find its place and I will go back to its place and where it goes. And if God says I don't want you, let God do to me whatever is right in his eyes. Here David HaMelech shows his greatness. He wasn't concerned about his own. He's concerned about the honor of the Aron Kodesh. Why does the Aron Kodesh have to come with me? I'm kicked out of Yerushalayim. He's not kicked out of Yerushalayim. He's not going to be kicked out. Let that be taken care of on its own. Let something else happen over here. I don't need the Aron Kodesh with me, and I don't need that to end up happening. That's an unbelievable little level. But Yomar Melech Tzedek HaKohen, the king said to Tzedek HaKohen, Haroah Atzah Shuvah Ir, HaKohen, Haroah, the seer. Okay, so he said, Atzah Shuvah Ir B'Shalom. Go back to the city in peace, he said to Tzedek.
I think it's Haroah Atah.
Do you see?
That Rashi puts it together like that. And
Roah Atah She'etzah Nechonihi. If you see this as a good Eitzah, that's how Rashi puts it?
The Trump is
Haroah Atah. You are right. That's the way to look at it. Haroah Atah. Very, very good call. I don't have Trump in this thing. Haroah Atah. Did you see or do you see, right? Shuvah Yer B'Shalom, go back in peace. Akhimaz Bin Chav Yehonas and Bin Avyasar Shnei Bineichem Itchem. Take Achimaz and Yehonas' son, right? Your son and Avyasar's son. Take them with you. Ruah Nochem I'm going to wait around the Arvos Hamidbor, around that area, the plains of the desert, until you bring me some words. I want you guys to be my guy. Okay, go inside there and go check it out. He's still in Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to stay around here. I want you guys to give me word and tell me what to do or where to go. Okay, tell me what to do, and I'll do whatever you guys tell me to do. Tzadok and Abiyasar went back to, they brought the Aron Elokim back to Yerushalayim, and they stayed in Yerushalayim to be the spies. The David Ola the Maila Hazesim, David went up to Mount Olives, right? Har Hazesim. Ola Uboka crying all the way up on top. Rosh Lo Chafo, he covered his head. And he went barefoot. This could be that he was looking up to see Yerushalayim for a very last time before he went. Some say that this is not Har HaZeisim as we know of, but rather Har HaTzofim. And that's where they came from. If anybody knows Har HaTzofim and Eretz Yisrael, Mount Scope is the last place that you could see Yerushalayim before going out into the wilderness. The wilderness is by Neve Yaakov. If anybody knows where this is, right around that area. That's the area right around there. They were going all the way out there to that area toward that desert, and that's where we're going. Perhaps they passed by base, right around that area. I would hope so. Down Rehov Zevin. Either way, regardless, that's the idea behind it. It says the following over here. David Higid Lemor Achitofel Bakosher and Avshalom. To David who's told, saying, Achitofel is among the conspirators with Avshalom. Remember David, Sakyonos Atas Achitofel Hashem. God, make foolish the Eitz of Achitofel. Now here's the problem. Everyone listened to Achitofel. Achitofel was awesome. And everything he had was almost the word of God, as we're going to see in the next parak. So now he said, listen, if I don't have Achitofel, I can't rely on his counsel, I can't rely on his advice, which Mamish was like Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have no hope but to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, there's no one else for me to go to. And it was good. Now I can only go with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing on this earth that can help you, because Achitofel's on his side. That means he's got the greatest advisor in the world right now. There's nothing else I can do except rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, well,
it's weird that it says, and David said, it kind of sounds like he's responding to this guy. He's saying, like, I don't know, kind of is
no, saying it to himself. Saying it to himself, not to the guy. Whoever the messenger
but
was.
Saying, like, usually wouldn't it say, like, say something like, it's weird that...
No, not this way. It's not by Yomer David Lowe. It's just by Yomer David. David said out loud, talking about him, David Melech was only afraid of one human being, according to Reb Nachman in the Medrash, and it was Achitofel. It's the only person on earth that he was afraid of. He's worried about Achitofel and what he was going to do. David Melech came to the peak, again, this heart, so probably, right? And he bowed down there to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he crossed the Hushai Arki, and as he was doing that, Hushai Arki came out. Now, we have not met this guy before. Karua Kutanto, he had torn his cloak, Ba'adam al Rosho, he had dirt on top of his head. Okay, that's where he ended up going over here. That's what it was. Now, what did Arki mean? Arki either means long and extended. In other words, that he had lived a very, very long time. Number two, it could mean chief, that he was a prominent figure wherever he was. And number three, he came from a place called Erech, and that was the person over there. Chazal say an unbelievable thing at this moment. They say, this is a Gemara, David Melech at this moment said, I should worship Avodah Zarah.
No.
He went up to the mountain to worship Avodah Zarah in front of all of Yerushalayim, so they would see him worship Avodah Zarah. Now listen to this.
No.
It's an unbelievable Gemara. Listen to this. So Hushai Arki came up there and said to him, David Melech, what are you doing? And he said, I'm going to have a massive Chilul Hashem that's going to happen because of me. People are going to say, how in the world could a son get up against a father and try to kill his father like this? How could a son do all these terrible things to his father? So what I should do is I'll worship Avodah Zarah so that people will think that I sinned, and that way they won't think that Avshalom went against me for any other reason other than the fact that I'm an Ovid Avodah Zarah.
They know he sinned. Everybody knew about Bathsheba.
With Bathsheba.
And three psukim ago, he was talking to the Aron.
Nine years ago. There's no question. He was only not doing this because he wanted to worship Avodah Zarah, the people in Yerushalayim would. Those who would see Avshalom, he wanted to do it for that reason. But you know what he told them? Hushai Arki? Hushai Arki told them that although you're correct that people aren't going to understand, maybe you can make a new drush. And he said, you know why Avshalom went off the derech? It's not because his father did something evil, but rather it's because his father married an Eshet Yifas Toar. Because if you look in Parshas Kisetzeh, it says if you marry a Yifas Toar, you're going to have a hated wife. And if you have a hated wife, you're going to have a Ben Soru Mora. And that's the connection of the Parshios from one to the other. He said people will start darshaning that Avshalom is a Ben Soru Mora from a hated wife because David Melech had an Eshet Yifas Toar. That's what they'll darshan. I'm sorry?
Is going to hate the wife, people in general?
That's the next parsha is if one has two wives, one he loves and one he hates.
Oh,
one can't have, you know, it talks about that. So they'll connect the parshios. Kusharki made the drush that you know why this happens, because Avshalom came from an Eish Tzipas Torah, which should teach the people not to have an Eish Tzipas Torah. That was Kusharki's chiddush, and it convinced David HaMelech, therefore you don't have to do anything. People know why Avshalom was there. There's not going to be this massive Chil Hashem. They're going to say it came from an Eish Tzipas Torah, and they'll learn a lesson from it and take it out.
What were you going to say, Dave? He could also could have just publicized Nathan HaNavi's prophecy.
I don't know if Nathan HaNavi's Nevuah was able to be prophesied in that way, was able to be publicized that way.
Avshalom knew about it.
Avshalom might have known because of Achitophel. We don't know. We'll see in a second. Listen, he said to Kusharki, if you cross over with me, you're just going to be another burden. You're not a warrior. You're not a guy who can handle these types of things. You're a governor. You're a guy who's in charge of a nation. You know, like, you can't be with me in the desert hanging out. You're just going to be a bother if you come with me. You might hear it to shoot, but if you go back to the city, and if you say to Avshalom, I am your servant, O king, I was the servant of your father, and now from now on I'll be your servant, then you can overturn for me the Eitz of Achitophel. Because if there's anybody that Avshalom will listen to more than Achitophel, it's you. Because you are my best friend, Hushai. So if you go back, he's going to listen to you over Achitophel. You can convince him that you're on his side now, you'll be the guy who can destroy all the Eitzes of Achitophel. So go back and be my spy. Tzadok and Avyasar are already there, and they're on my side. Anything you hear from the house of the king, tell it to them. He's got two sons there. There's Achimatz and Yonasan. You should send to me through them anything you hear. Hushai, who still was David's friend, went to the city of Yerushalayim. Avshalom finally came to Yerushalayim at that time, at that moment that Hushai Arki came in from meeting with David and Melech. Perek Tes Zayin. David Ovar Ma'at Me'arosh. David had crossed a little bit of this mountaintop in Tziva. I mean, people are coming out to greet him one after the other. He's just like, this is not the time. I'm running away. But either way, Tziva, the Nar of Mithiboshe. Remember Tziva before? The Evan of Mithiboshe, as we crossed, we came out to greet him. A Tzemet Chamor and Chavushin. He had laden donkeys, because remember, up until this point, they didn't have anything. Laden donkeys. They had 200 things of bread. May had 100 raisins. Baruch Hashem. What are they going to do without raisins?
100 of them.
Yeah. 100 cakes of dried figs, Menabel Yain, and a flask of wine. One flask. And that's it. They had a ton of stuff.
Not sound like it's going to feed all these people.
Well, the men of David HaMelech were hungry and thirsty. This should have been enough for some of them, if not for all of them. But it was enough for them to be there. Vayomer Melech Tziva Ma'ilolach. What's going on over here? Vayomer Tziva Hamor in Lebeis HaMelech. The donkeys are for the king's household. They're cool for them to ride. Ba'alechem Da'kayitz La'akol Hana'arim. The bread and the figs are for the young men to eat. Vayayim Lishtos Ha'yayif Midbar, and the wine is for drinking for those who are weary in the desert. He was respectful. He didn't say that David HaMelech needed any food or drink. You don't say that about the king. It's just to say everybody else can have this, and obviously included in it is if David HaMelech needs anything, he can take it itself. However, David HaMelech Tziva was not entirely sincere in bringing this over. He intended to do what he was about to do, and that's the reason why he came to David HaMelech. Where's the son of your master? Where's Mephibosheth, the son of Yehonah's son, the son of Shaul HaMelech. Vayomer Tziva HaMelech, hinei Yoshev Yerushalayim. He's sitting in Yerushalayim. Kemar Hayom Yoshivu li Beis Yisrael Mamlechus Avi. He said, today they will return to me the house of Israel, the kingdom of my father. He thought he's going to be king, become king again. They figured nobody will keep Avshalom around, so today I'm going to come back. This is Lashon Hara. Whether Tziva really meant this, or whether he was saying it in a way that was just a lie to get David Melech saying it. Maybe Mamash thought this way. Nonetheless, it was Lashon Hara. And David Melech was punished for being the kabbal, this Lashon Hara. It says, Vayomer Melech Tziva, hinei lecha kol asher lemephibosheth. Therefore, you own everything that Mephibosheth has. It's all yours now. And the kabbal of Lashon Hara said, it's all yours at this point. I bow down now in appreciation for everything that I found favor in the eyes of my master the king. Okay, that's that. That's a kinyan, by the way. Normally, in order to make a kinyan, you got to pick something up, you got to pull something, you got to do something. The word of the king is a kinyan. If the king says this is what's going to be, that's a kinyan, and that automatically works. The king David came over to the city called Bakurin. A man came out from the family of Shaul, Shimi ben Gera, Yotzei Yatzol Mikalel. Shimi ben Gera came out. Now, he was the Rebbe of Shlomo HaMelech. Shimi ben Gera came out, going out and cursing as he came out. Okay? Mida Kenegamita. David Melech accepted the Lashon Hara. So therefore, somebody came and cursed out David Melech and said bad things about David Melech. That's the Mida Kenegamita. Okay? That's that. It's possible that there were people from Binyamin who were still very angry at the king for taking over the kingdom and felt that this was just. You took the kingdom from Binyamin, so therefore God took the kingdom from you.
It makes sense. Why would you want other...
No, there was sense to it. By Yisakob Avanim as David was called the Amalek, they stoned David Amalek and all the servants of the king. David Mechola Amakola Giborim, Yiminu Mishmola, from the right and from the left. All the strong men were thrown down. There were stones pelted at them. Omar Shimi Bekalo said Shimi and his curse. Say, say, Isha Damim Isha Beliyal. Go, go, man of blood and man of wickedness. He was mentioning, number one, that he was killed many people in the last time, maybe hinting to the fact that he had killed Shaul, hinting to the fact that he had killed Shaul's kids, not directly, but indirectly, because you caused Novir Kalanin, causing Doi God Domi's death, causing Uri Achiti's death.
He also caused Novir Kalanin's death.
Novir Kalanin in a certain way, Avner Benner, you're a man of blood, as well as Belial, that you slept with Bathsheba. And he kept cursing him again and again about this. This is going to show the unbelievable inner strength of David HaMelech. Here, listen to this. Hey, Shabbalach HaShem, Koldimei Beis Shaul, God has put upon you all the blood of the house of Shaul, Shem Alach Tato, that you have become king instead of him.
They're paying you for all the blood.
They're paying you. That makes sense. By Yitin HaShem is a Meluch HaBiyad of Shalom, and therefore God has given the kingdom to answer of Shalom Ben Echel, your son, Ben Eberal, Sech Lachish Domi Matal. It's because of your evil, right? Because you are a man of blood. Imamish is Mida Kenegamida. Listen to this. It's even worse for you, because Shalom Alach didn't see anybody else taking over his throne. You're going to see somebody taking over your throne in your own lifetime.
That's not true.
Who took over his throne in his lifetime?
David was on the run because...
That's true, but never took over the throne. But the whole time, Shaul HaMelech was the king.
That's...
Okay, I hear what you're saying, that he still took over. But nonetheless, nobody was in charge. Absalom was different. Absalom was in the kingdom, in the palace, taking over right at that time. Nimretzes, by the way, where's the word? Kola Nimretzes. Where's that word over there? Do we have that word? We haven't gotten to it yet. I don't think we've gotten to it yet. Did it say Kola Nimretzes? Thank you. Yeah, that's 100% right. It's in Malachim Aleph. Later on, he said, he gave me a Kola Nimretzes. Here's what Shimi said. Nimretzes stands for, you're a Noe, that's an adulterer. You're a Mamzer, because that was the whole line about David Melech. Remember all the way back when, they all claimed that David Melech was a Mamzer. You're a Rasha, obviously. You're a Tzorer, a tormentor who killed other people. And you're a Toeva, an abomination to a Kaddish Baruch. That was Nimretzes. Nun Mem Resh Tzadi Tov. Pretty good, right? Shimon Megira, by the way, was the head of Sanhedrin. Hey! Good job, man. Unbelievable.
David had no longer the head of Sanhedrin.
No, the head of Sanhedrin did not do well with him. Doi God Domi, Afi Tochol, Shimon Megira, and those guys were with Avshalom. But Yomar Avisha ben Tzruya HaMelech. Avisha ben Tzruya, remember, he's the nephew of the king. Tzruya is the sister of David. He said to the king, why is this dead dog cursing you over here?
Right?
Yes, he was. Why is this dead dog cursing you? I said, Adonai HaMelech, my master, the king, Ebron of Asira Tosha, I'm going to go now. I'm going to remove his head. Okay, first of all, you see, by the way, that they weren't bothered with the stones. Being stoned, they were worried about the words. So sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's literally the exact opposite. Words will break my bones. Oh, no. Yeah, words will break my bones, but stones will never hurt me.
Well, let's go that way.
Let's try it.
Stone, right?
That's right. That's that. Avishai specifically chose a dog because a dog, when it attacks a person, even though it knows it's going to die, it won't stop. And that's what Shimon ben Gera was doing at this point. Pasuk Yud. Calm down, sons of Tzruya. Koyikalel, the Ki Hashem Amar Lo Kalel. The reason why he's cursing is because God told him to curse, as David, to curse David HaMelech. Who knows why have you done? Who can say why have you done so? Who knows why he's really doing so? You think he really means it that way? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shimon, Shimon is a great man. He's possibly a Navi. Maybe he's doing this because God is telling him to do it. But Yomer David Al Vishav Al Kol Abad Vinei Bini. Asher Yatsim Mimei Mevakish Tafshi. Listen, my own son, who I fathered, right? He's looking and trying to kill me. And now there's a Binyaminite who's also going around. But, you know, leave him alone. Be a kalo, let him curse. Kiyamelo Hashem. That's what God has instructed him to do. Now that's crazy, first of all, but he's willing to do that. He's allowing to accept it and just let it be. But later on, he does kill him. He tells Shlomo Melech, kill Shimi. Make sure that Shimi does something wrong in order to kill him. So why did he kill him later on? So the answer is because Shimi ben Gera, once he saw that Shimi ben Gera was not L'Shem Shemayim, that he didn't do this out of Nebuah, Shimi ben Gera did it and was wrong for it, and Shimi apologized for it later on, then he said, then you were Chayav Nisa. You're Chayav Nisa of what you did. I'm not going to kill you immediately, because at the time I may not have had the status of a king.
Exactly.
Nonetheless, I'm going to make sure it goes through me to Keneged Nisa. If you follow the next king correctly, which is Shlomo Melech, and you do everything he says, good, you won't be killed. If you go against Shlomo Melech, then you'll be killed. And that's exactly what happened. He told Shimi, don't leave the city. Shimi left the city to go look for certain avadim of his, and Shlomo Melech had him killed. And that was it. It was a midah keneged midah in that way. Maybe God will see the tears in my eyes, and God will repay me with good in place of cursing on this day, and that's it whatsoever. Here's where the Gemara says that he was suffering from leprosy, because you see the word over here, instead of be'eni, is be'oni. In my troubles, and my troubles refer to the tzaras that David HaMelech had, and that's the reason why. Some say that David HaMelech had a nebuah, and the reason why he didn't kill Shimon ben Gera is he knew Shimon ben Gera was zocha to have a great-great-grandchild who was going to be Mordechai. And he wanted to keep Mordechai alive. Mordechai's great-great-great-great-grandfather had not been born yet. And therefore he wanted to keep him alive. They kept going on the road. Shimi holich batzela ahar. David HaMelech, I'm sorry, Shimi went on the side of the mountain. Lu'u maso opposite him the whole way. Halok Kalel kept cursing him. So he threw stones down opposite him, and he started kicking up dirt to make him notice what was going on.
No, this kind of sounds so petty at this point. You're just kind of following him and throwing stuff at him.
Yeah, it does sound like a little kid, right? He's just like, yeah, I'm going to get you. Obviously, that does sound a little bit there. And obviously, they did not have great aim either, because eventually somebody... Okay, anyway. The king and all the people that were with him at Yafin, they came. They arrived. They were totally exhausted and tired. But enough is shum, they rested there in Bakurim. Meanwhile, same bat time, same bat channel, Avshalom and all the people, the men of Israel, they came to Yerushalayim, and Achitophel was together with them. At this point, Achitophel was no longer part of the pooling. He was mamish with Avshalom. When Hushai Arki, the friend of David, came to Avshalom, may the king live, may the king live. This is your chesed to your friend. Why didn't you go with your friend? He knew Hushai. And he said, what's going on over here? How could this be? How are you doing this? He deserted your friend at the time of need, and now you're recognizing a rebellious monarch? What's going on over here? What are you doing over here? Look, I'm following that which God chose. And all this people as well have chosen. And all Bnei Yisrael, to him I will be, and with him I will sit. Does everybody see the little change of the wording over there? Lo is in Lamed Vav in parentheses. Lo, Lamed Aleph, is how it's read in the psukim themselves. In other words, like this. He was saying, Lo Ayah, I'm not really with you. But it sounded like, Lo Ayah, I will be with him. He made it sound in such a way. And the secondly, who should I serve? Alo Livnei Beno, in front of his son, right? Listen, if God has chosen for David HaMelech to leave, then God has chosen for David HaMelech to leave. I understand. He may have even said, I know the fool. David HaMelech told me the fool. So I know that you're supposed to be in charge. We don't see him. This is the first time we've ever
on the mountain.
Yeah, but apparently Hushai was the guy who just met him with Davinel. Davinel sent him back to do the spot. We've never seen him before. Yeah, they were best friends. Besties. They probably had the little, you know, pinky thing, or maybe blood brothers. I don't know, whatever. But he said, that's number one. Number two, you're his son. I love you as much as I love David HaMelech. I love you as much as I love David HaMelech. That's going to be the idea what right over here. He said to HaKitofel, okay, it's time. Let's get Eitzah. What should we do over here? What's the time? What are we supposed to do at this moment? So this is big. Pasuk Chaval. Yomar HaKitofel of Shalom. HaKitofel looked to Avshalom and he said, Bo El Pilag Shavicha. It's time for you to be together with your father's concubines. Ashrei Niach Lishmo Abayis, that he had left to take care of the house. Your father clearly didn't care for them. Your father clearly wanted them to be taken, as he knew the Nevuah. Now again, we said before that David HaMelech left the concubines there, not thinking that Avshalom would ever do such a thing. Who would ever suggest such a thing? But Avshalom said, Avshalom was told the following by Achitophel. Listen, Achitophel said, this whole thing is because of Bathsheba, right? Bathsheba was because David HaMelech had slept with the nation's ish. So you should do it in the right way. Don't sleep with the nation's ish. Sleep with the pilagish of your father. And make it media connected media.
So weird that Achitophel, Mr. Wise, is giving this information.
We said it's mutter.
It's part of the Nevuah.
Yeah, he mutter it for him, saying it's part of the Nevuah, and showing him that's how everybody will accept you as king. They'll see that you're clearly showing everybody you are in charge now. Because the only person who can marry the Pelegesh of a king is a king. And therefore you're going to be able to do it. Now in the end, Avshalom was not a king, which meant that he's going to be killed for being together with the Pelegesh of a king, which he wasn't allowed to do. But at the time, Achitophel said, you want to prove that you're a king? We don't have the Shemana Mishka. We're not going to use the Shemana Mishka. There may have been some type of oil that you had there, but you want to show everybody that you're the king? This is the way to do it.
But isn't it still Usher anyway, even if he's the king, because you can't, the pasuk says you can't, anybody that uncovered your father's
role. Aishas Aviv.
No, but doesn't also fight anybody
no.
Your father's
life? No. Sadi Vav Amun Beis and Yivamit. It's a Mishnah. Chachamim say, according to Chachamim, you can sleep with people, anybody's Mefutas Aviv. The seduction of your father.
Okay.
That was Mutter.
It seems like Avshalom was kind of, it doesn't say it specifically, but he kind of was directly asking Achitophel, hey, you see these 10 ladies over there? What's
my am I in or am I out?
Yeah.
With them. By the way, it could be, by the way, there was still mutter to David HaMelech.
Because otherwise,
assume that they were considered rapes and that they weren't doing this willingly.
Because otherwise, it would seem strange that that's the first thing Achitophel said.
First thing that he said.
Why not say,
no, but
hey,
again, no,
let's sacrifice some
I wouldn't put this on Avshalom necessarily. The way he said it is, that's the way that you become a king. You take it over. David HaMelech did it by Ritzvah Basaya. He took Ritzvah Basaya when he ended up becoming king. That was one of the opinions back then. So he did that. The first thing that he asked for when he came to Yerushalayim, he said, bring me Michal Basol. Bring me my wife. Right, there was one of, that's the way to show that you're the king. It says, "Mishomah Kol Yisrael," right? All Bnei Yisrael will hear, "Kivashta Zavicha," that you have now, I guess, gone against your father. It will strengthen everyone who is going to be together with you. They turned to Avshalom. They made a tent for Avshalom, a tent on the roof, the same roof that David Melech was on when he saw Bathsheba. That's where they made it. Avshalom was together with Pelegesh of his fathers in the eyes in front of all of Bnei Yisrael. Okay, and that's the idea behind it, and that's the concept of what he was able to be with. He was there with them. The Eitzah that Achitophel used to give in those days was considered like somebody was asking a god. That's the way the Eitzah of Achitophel was to David and Avshalom. That's why nobody questioned it. When Avshalom said it, they really thought that it was a Nevuah. That this is straight out the Nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one wanted to argue, no one wanted to say anything. You know what Achitophel did tell David HaMelech? He told him the dimensions and the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Achitophel was the one who got the Nevuah. And therefore, they literally considered everything Achitophel did as mamish being the word of God. Remember when David HaMelech was making the shisin of the Beis HaMikdash, he was making the depths, right? And he came down to a depth that was all the way down there. There was a rock on top and he took the rock out. The rock said to him, don't take me out because it'll destroy the world. Took the rock out and the water started to drown out the world. And who did David HaMelech turn to? He said, anybody who knows an eighth of what I can do, say it now. Achitophel didn't want to say anything because he was like, alright, I'll become king next. You know? That's what he said. Right? At the end of the day, David HaMelech said, you, Achitophel, what do I do? He knew Achitophel had that power. Achitophel also had one big problem over here. Achitophel considered himself to become extremely great. He saw a dream in which he saw fire coming out from that area of his body. From that he defined, or he decided, that he was going to become the next king. He was wrong. it was his great-grandson who was going to become king. Bathsheba's son, who was Shlomo Melech, was going to become the king. So there was going to be something from that area, meaning from his kids, was coming. He made a mistake. He assumed what was going to happen was like this. Avshalom is going to take over the kingdom. Eventually the Beis Din will get involved, and Beis Din will kill Avshalom for being together with David Melech's wives. David Melech would be already killed by Avshalom in a war. And then, now that David's gone, and Avshalom's gone, who's going to become in charge?
I don't even understand what you
mean. He didn't think Shlomo. He thought it was going to be him. He thought it was going to be him, and that way he would become king. Yeah.
I don't even understand why he would start to think that it would be him if it's coming from the fire who was coming from the... Obviously, it's a tough
question. Solid question. Solid question. We're going to get to it a little bit when Achitophel does commit suicide. We're going to get to it a little bit later. When he commits suicide, then we're going to see what exactly happened and what his thought process was and why specifically from the Amma. We'll talk about this soon. Shkaya, guys, we'll end right here.